I looked at Mike. I'm like, none of them have headsets on. Do they know we're on?
We're too busy talking about traveling in Arizona.
I was thinking that should have been one of those times we should have a live mic going in the studio.
You should have just thrown the mics on and joined us right in the middle of the conversation. Before break, Robert Steve, editor of Arizona Highways Magazine, was talking about a corner of the state, the Patagonia area, the Patagonia Mountains.
Yeah,
kind of a special little place. Like you say, a lot of people in Arizona, when they want to escape the desert floor, think north, north, north.
Yep.
But boy, there's some sky islands in southern and southeastern Arizona that are absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a spectacular, and it's honestly, it's I think about 30 miles south of Tucson, so it's not even from here in the valley, it's not a long ride. But you get down there, and especially, it's like so many places in Arizona that are beautiful all year long. You know, right now the canyon with all the snow up there, and you know, then seeing it in the summer wherever it is, but. You know, like the summer is actually a beautiful time to go down there because the monsoons just make everything this spectacular green. And you know, we'll focus in our issue on the two little towns there, Sonoyta and Patagonia, and some of the surrounding area. But you talk about the mountains. There's, you know, they've got the Huachuca Mountains down there, the Santa Rita Mountains, the Mustang Mountains, and Madera Canyon, which is down there too, which is. You know, one of the crown jewels of our state. It's just this spectacular place. You know, birders, people who go bird watching, it's one of the premier destinations. When I hike down there, I don't know what the birds are that I'm seeing, but I'm like, whoa, that's a cool bird. You know, so, you know, even if you're not a bird watcher, you can appreciate that. And so you get down there and there's, you know, of course, the wineries that have sprung up down there over the last 20 or 25 years are...
Yeah, you used to could go down there and stay for $17 a night.
Not anymore.
Now that it's wine country, it's $90 a night.
Yeah, I did a ride, we did it in the magazine, where you can actually go horseback riding to a winery.
Yes.
And so, horseback, and I know you guys love your horses, I mean, that's horse country down there. I mean, a lot of big ranchers down there, and
we've got a favorite little bed and breakfast ranch. They let us bring the horses, and they've got just a great little casita they put you up in, and you can trailer out and ride through the Canela Hills.
Yeah,
you
know, spectacular.
I mean, on horseback, it's just like it's just like peeling back the centuries, and you're just rolling back into. Just pretending as if you are the first one to see the country.
Yeah, our art director has a family ranch down there, and we keep trying to convince him to let us have a satellite office there.
Yes, at some point. Absolutely.
But he said there's no running water, so that sort of took it out of consideration for some people.
I call bogus. That's just his deterrent. Oh, there's no.
Oh, I know. Water. He probably has all kinds of running water. He just doesn't. He doesn't want to share.
He probably has an instant water heater too.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it'd be great for the creative juices just to be down there. It is fun whenever you're exploring to think about the very first person who saw that.
Yeah.
When you read early Arizona history, you realize that the Santa Cruz River was probably the largest freeway into the state for several hundred years.
Yeah.
Everybody came up to Santa Cruz to the Gila, and then they either went east or west.
Yeah. And again, it's just an unexplored area for the most part. I mean, now your listeners know all about it, so hopefully they'll go down and, you know, go have some pizza at the Velvet Elvis or whatever it is. There's some great places down there, but and, you know, even, you know, the drive, a lot of scenic drives. So, I mean, the thing is, you don't have to have a horse or a pair of hiking boots. You just go down and drive. The scenic driving down there is spectacular. And so we love it down there.
And you have to go with a little bit of a constitution. You get back on the old Harshaw Road or back towards Lokiel, and you see a lot of billboards. That immigration is posted along the side of the road.
Yeah, you get down there.
But you're entering an area of known illegal traffic, and you have to kind of have your radar on.
Yeah, it's always wise anywhere, honestly. I mean, you know, there can be weirdos out in the forest up north, too, you know. But you just, you know, again, I said it earlier, going out in the wilderness, you know, wherever it is, requires going with a thinking cap. You can't just go out. You know, we hear these stories about, you know, the Grand Canyon all the time, people that
the
disappear.
Woman last month.
Yeah. Did you see the woman last month? She walked like 26 miles. Their GPS had gone gave him wrong directions. There was a road closure so that
lost
he directed
her shoes
him.
In
yeah.
the snow. 3 feet
she left
of
her,
snow.
Yeah. She was a marathon runner, so she left her husband and kid and just wow. started trekking through the snow. Lost her shoes.
Yeah,
she made
and
it. She
yeah,
made it.
You know, she's one of the lucky ones. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's Sonoy to Patagonia. You'll learn all about it in April.
Well, we began exploring that part of the state when the immigration office at Sonoyta was one mobile
yeah.
office
wow.
and two trucks.
Yeah.
And now there's 300 trucks down there.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of the guys. And I can tell you, for those of you that are listening, it is imminently much less traffic now than it was in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
I mean, in 2002 to 2007, you couldn't go down there without seeing foot traffic.
Yeah.
And you just don't see that anymore.
Yeah, it's a nice place to go and kind of get away. I mean, the hiking you do down there, rarely do you see even another hiker.
Yeah.
So it's a good place to get some solitude. The movie we talked about, Oklahoma, there's a windmill and a scene in that movie that was actually modeled after something that we had on our cover. It was another illustrated cover that Arizona Highways had done, and the producers or somebody had seen that magazine and decided to recreate that thing and make it real, and it ended up in the movie, which, you know, a little bit of Arizona Highways trivia there for you.
And you know what was really funny? Mike played the Oklahoma song off of YouTube. He had quick found that as we were going into the break, the Oklahoma. That scene that they're shooting during the song, there's a mountain range behind it.
In Oklahoma.
That was the point of the conversation I had earlier this week. I'm like, movies make anything look good. Oklahoma made Oklahoma look good. Well, yeah. It wasn't. It was Arizona. Now I get it. But well, it's funny. You actually now, I'm going to have to go watch that whole movie now just to, that's, you know.
There's the Winchester.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's funny you mentioned that, you know, watching Westerns, you know, that are set in Texas and there's saguaros everywhere. And, you know, I think there was even a version of Tombstone, the story shot up in Monument Valley at one point, you know what I mean? But to viewers around the world, I guess,
Jay,
doesn't matter.
Jay even points out one old John Wayne movie where in their Monument Valley, and the quail calls a Bob White. Somebody didn't do their research very well on just indigenous quail species.
The great stories of Arizona. And boy, how long have you been at the...
I've been
magazine.
There just about 10 years now. It has flown by very fast for me. But, you know, I've said it, I'm sure, on your show, and I'll say it to anybody else. I've, you know, it's the greatest, and I'll put this word in quotes, job in the world.
Yeah, it's not a job. You're not kidding me.
You know, and again, I'm fortunate to I'm only the 10th editor in the history
That's
of the
incredible.
Magazine, which, you know, and we had a, you know, our emeritus editor, Raymond Carlson, who was there for 33 years, kind of skewed that number a little bit, but he's the guy who really made it what it is. And, you know, before that it was, you know, magazines about road graders and how to put culverts under, you know, that's why it's called Arizona Highways.
Right.
It was a trade publication for road engineers because in 1925 didn't have a lot of roads. So, you know, then Mr. Carlson came along and realized there's a gorgeous state out here because this is, you know, pre-internet, obviously. A lot of people didn't know about Arizona. They'd heard about Geronimo and some of the big stories, Tombstone and the OK Corral, but there was so much to showcase, and that's when Arizona Highways made the great transition.
Well, looking at the point they start looking for a new editor, do you think I would have to go back and finish English 101?
Yeah, we have people that can take care
of spell
that.
Check, you know. You got all kinds of support. I forgot what I was going to say.
That's all right.
Oh, just... It's gone again.
Where
Robert looks like a pretty young guy. I would guess...
He's going to be there a while.
Yeah.
He's going to outlast me. And you'd never give this job up. So, Robert, where are you going next? What's on your little personal, or where have you been recently? The last time you were on in the fall, mm-hmm. we talked in particular about that one particular ruin I don't want to mention again.
Yeah, right. We don't want to overdo it.
But where have you been since, or what's really grabbed your attention where you want to get to next?
Well, you know, the hikes that you read in the magazine, I mean, we cover the whole state, and personally, I was just up on Thursday, I think it was, up in near Prescott, a place called Sierra Prieta, and scouting out a hike there for a future issue. And, you know, it's again, when you've been around 93 years, and we have a lot of hikes in our state, but you start having to dig a little deeper to find things. And fortunately, we have some great photographers. You know, the evolution of photography with digital has opened up that art form and profession to so many more people. And, you know, you were making some age jokes there a second ago. I mean, a lot of our old-timers, to use that term, you know, aren't getting into some of these rugged, remote places like they used to. And so, you know, a lot of young people are getting out there, and so we're seeing a lot of photos, and it's sometimes the photos are leading the story for us. It's like, because I saw these photos from one of our photographers, and I'm like, ooh, where's that?
Yeah.
And so I've been exploring some places like that. There's always, you know, things on the docket. I'm heading up to Sedona soon to do a hike up there, out on Devil's Bridge, which isn't remote. We're not giving away any secrets there. That's a very popular trail. But and then going to head down to Mount Graham in the not too distant future. Got another kind of cool hike. I'm going into Sycamore Canyon, kind of coming from Flagstaff, coming in up that way. And so my brother's actually going to fly out and do that trip with me. So. So yeah, always something on the horizon.
Now, when you drop in from Sycamore on top, how far are you anticipating taking it down?
Well, you can go all the way down to where the creek is if there's water. Typically, there isn't in most of that canyon, but you know, it's a pretty good drop. Actually, in that particular case, you're going down to something called Taylor Cabin, which is an old, you know, the ranchers built that way back when. And what's the biggest challenge about that hike actually is the drive in, because it's a really remote, you know.
You need
one of those super duper high clearance vehicles, but we'll make it.
Well, there's, you know, my problem with discovering new corners of Arizona, and there aren't very many corners I haven't been into.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I get there, then I try and pick up every historical book of that area.
Yeah,
and then I dive deep into the history. And then I just I just grow roots into that part of the state.
Yeah, you can't get enough of it. I was hiking up on Mingus Mountain last year, and I thought, well, here's a forest road I'd never been in, and I was going to explore, and I can't remember the number at this point. But it was a long, rugged road. But I saw a country that was not that far west of Interstate 17.
Yes.
And it was, you could have been in the middle of, you know, Argentina somewhere, and it was so remote, and the road was a little hairy too, and I wouldn't recommend going on it, but I did have the appropriate vehicle. But, you know, so close by, there's this remoteness. And again, this place I was on Thursday, I mean, it's only a few miles beyond the Thumb Butte Recreation Area up by Prescott, which is one of the busiest, you know, trails in central Arizona. And, you know, within a few miles, you're just boom out in the middle of nowhere. And then to your point, you know, you sort of want to explore it and learn everything you can about
the history, the stories. If walls could talk, I photograph a lot of any of the old buildings, the barns, the stables, the homes, the homesteads. More when we get back with Robert Steve, editor of Arizona Highways Magazine, right here at Rosie on the House.